You'll take your copy of God's Word and begin to open it up. I'm going to take us out of Luke this morning. We've been doing a lot of work in Luke. I actually had done a good bit of work on the next text in Luke, and I decided to shift, and maybe somebody needs this message this morning out of 1 Samuel. So turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Samuel chapter 17, a very famous story of David and Goliath. As the Israelites had faced off with the Philistines and that great warrior that the Philistines had, and were looking for one warrior to come and face him from the Israelites, and none were to be found. 1 Samuel chapter 17, I'm going to do something I don't do often. I'm going to deal with the whole chapter, preach the whole chapter. Amen. Thanks, Al. Thanks, brother. Some of you are thinking, should have brought lunch. You know, that's right. But in reality, I think there's a word here to be heard about taking responsibility of your life, trusting the Lord in as you take responsibility of your life. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but I do want to read verses 31 through verse 37. Let's stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. And following this, if you're a guest with us, then I'm going to pray, and we invite our folks to pray with us. I bow and ask the Lord to bless His Word, and I invite you, if the Lord gives you grace, to bow with me on your knees. I invite you to do so. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 31 says, "When the words that David spoke were heard, they were repeated before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, 'Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine.' And Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.' David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him.'" Now just stop there for a moment. David's a man. If I'm keeping sheep and a lion comes, I'm like, shoo. But he grabs him by his beard and strikes him in his face. I want to be like David. Okay. "Your servant," verse 36, "has struck him both with lying, struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the enemies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, the Lord be with you." May the Lord be with us this morning. Pray with me. Father, Lord, give us grace now as we get into your word. I think there's a remarkable truth here of the power of your strength when we rely on it. We take responsibility to find hope, find courage in you. So Lord, give me grace to say what you are saying, that the Holy Spirit might, I pray, edify the people of God, and you might be glorified in it all. In Christ's name, amen. You know, I think a lot of the problems that we have, whether it be in our own lives or in our own family or in our country as a whole, is just people are not taking responsibility for their lives. I mean, how we wouldn't be in a lot of the mess that we're in if people would just say, "Look, I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for my life. Good decisions, bad decisions, I'm responsible for it." And I think we need to return to that reality. you know, I meet with folks, when I talk to them in the, you know, in the hallway or whether it's in a counseling session, and it's usually people making excuses for their problems. You know, if you're doing marriage counseling, it doesn't always happen like this, but a lot of times it does. Sit down and go, you know, what's exactly the problem here? What's brought you to see me today? And the wife will say something like, well, he doesn't listen to me anymore. Or, he's never romantic, never brings me flowers. And husband would say, well, I would stay around more and bring you flowers more if you weren't fussing at me all the time. And wife would say, well, I wouldn't be fussing at you all the time if you act like you love me just a little bit. I'd act like you love me. I'd loved you if you'd stop fussing at me some. You know, Paul David Tripp came a few years ago here, and he did this marriage conference, and this is what he said that stuck with me more than anything else. He said this. He said, the problem in your marriage is you. You're the problem. I was like, it's you. And what he was getting at is that you're a sinner. And you struggle with sin, and you were born in sin, and you have an innate selfishness problem. And so, yeah, they may have problems too, but the problem that we, the way we got to approach our marriage is that the problem in our marriage is us. And so it just dawned on me. He's saying, take responsibility for your fault. Take responsibility. We need to be a people who takes responsibility. You know, I think it comes, we also see this just in little things like weight. I mean, you watch TV, there are 10,000 different commercials on how you can lose weight. And, you know, sometimes they're like, well, your problem is you got too much stress. You need to take, you know, cortisol relief and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, if you struggle with your weight, it's, you know, if you have a family history of a weight problem, then, you know, take this or do this or kind of things. And I know people have a family history and have issues with their weight, but I'm going to tell you, by and large, the reason my suits have to either keep getting tighter or I have to buy bigger suits, it's because I eat too much and don't move enough. That's why we get too big, by and large. Now, everybody's got their own body type. Everybody's going to do this, that, and the other. But it's an issue of responsibility, and we have to take responsibility for ourselves. It happens on the job as well. You know, you lose a client. You know, something falls through. Project's not done in time. Boss gets upset. Start making excuses. Well, you know, wasn't enough time, and the client didn't know what they wanted. The economy's bad, and I can't work in these conditions. And it's just excuse after excuse after excuse. Now, I know there are issues that we have to deal with, and there are overbearing bosses and unpractical spouses. But you know what we do when we just make excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse? What we essentially do is take the power to change anything out of our own hands. They have got to change for this to change. Well, that puts yourself in an absolute powerless situation. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. That way, nothing will ever get solved. So we need to stop being the victim. Too many people feel like they're the victim of the situation. All right? So for us to stop being the victim, I think we can look at this story, and there's something about how David acts in this story that changes the whole of the situation. To stop looking at the situation and making excuses about the situation, but start looking to God. And in the power of looking to God, take initiative in your own life, and God works in such a way that can change the whole course of our lives. So how do we do that? What do we see happening here? Well, first, I think the first thing we need to do if we're going to stop being victims and see change in our lives is we got to, number one, see it. See the problem as it really is. You look at the Israelites here, they are paralyzed because they're afraid of this great giant Goliath. And the Israelites have a history of this kind of reaction. Remember, they were entering into the promised land. He sent the spies in to go look, and the spies came back, and all of them save two came back and said, oh yeah, the land's good, but man, the people there, they're like giants and we're like grasshoppers. We can't take them. And when they did, they completely took the ability to see something awesome happen in their lives out of their hands. Now, you had always have people of faith, it seems, in the middle of that. And you had Joshua and Caleb there. And they said, no, we can take them. But the people said, no, we can't. And so their problem, what was their problem? I think the problem was is they didn't see the real problem. They thought the problem was that the people were giants. The Israelites here thought the problem was that Goliath was a giant and they couldn't take him. The problem was not that Goliath is too big for their power. The problem is not that the people of the land were too big for them to overtake the land. The real problem was their lack of faith in God. That God could take the people, that God could take Goliath, that God could take the land. And so the Israelites refused to see their real problem. They saw Goliath's size. They saw his strength. They saw the power of his sword. Can you imagine what they must have been saying? How in the world did we get ourselves in a fight that we can't win? Never seen any warrior that big. It's huge. But to change the problem, to change the reality, you got to see the real problem. They thought the problem was they didn't have a warrior strong enough. But the real problem was they didn't have faith strong enough to rely on God. If the problem was just in their circumstance, then how in the world did the introduction of David into the story change anything? I mean, after all, David didn't bring might to the situation. He was a teenager. He certainly wasn't as mighty as Israel's finest warriors. He didn't have greater skill than the great fighting soldiers of the army. He didn't even have any armor of his own. What David brought to the situation, the thing that no one else had, wasn't might, it wasn't skill, it wasn't equipment. It was faith. It was faith in an almighty God. Their real problem was a lack of faith. You know, I wonder how many times we don't realize that that's the source of our problem. That's the core of our problem. We look at the circumstance and it seems too big. It seems too mighty. It seems bigger than anything that we can handle. When our big problem is we're not willing to bring faith to our circumstances. We allow the overwhelming nature of those circumstances to kill our faith. We look at our circumstances and say that they're impossible. We assume that they're impossible for God. They're too big for me, God. They must be too big for you. You know that the Word of God says there's nothing impossible for God. Absolutely nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, if God can find a way to redeem sinners, He can figure out anything. He can solve any problem. Philippians 4:13 says that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Can do it all. That the real problem is a lack of faith, and we bring faith to our circumstances, then we find the power of God in the midst of our faith and things change. So how do we access that? Where do we get that? I remember a number of years ago, Misty and I were babysitting for a lady in our church, a little girl, and we didn't have any children at the time, but the little girl's name, she was three, was Allie. You remember Allie? Heather's little daughter. Anyway, well, we took Allie and we said, we'll go to Chuck E. Cheese. And so we took Allie to Chuck E. Cheese, and we had a big time playing all the different games and whatnot. And I remember there was this Bob the Builder ride that Allie got on. Now, Allie's, like I said, about 3 years old, and she got in this truck, and she's going back, you know, she started going back and forth. And it was that kind of ride. It hadn't started yet. It was that kind of ride, just rocked back and forth. And Allie got in, and she put her hands on that steering wheel, and Misty looked at her, and he says, "Oh, no, Allie, we forgot to put your seatbelt on." Allie thought for a moment. She looked at the seatbelt, and she looked at her hands on the wheel. And she said, "Okay, Miss Misty, you hold the wheel. I'll put the seatbelt on." And so I think that's part of what we've got to do. We've got to say, "God, here, you hold the wheel. You set the direction. You decide what's right, and I'm going to follow that. You hold the wheel, God. You be in control." You got to see the problem as it really is. And the problem is rarely that the circumstances are too big. The problem is our faith is too small. See it. Secondly, I think we need to seize it. Seize it, number two. Step up to your level of responsibility, because nothing in life is going to change until you take responsibility for your own life. It's what David did. You know, this isn't even David's fight. He's showing up to check on his brothers. All right, it's not David's fight. He's not part of the army, but he still took responsibility for the outcome. He could have said, looking at what was going on, man, guys, y'all are in a mess. I hope that works out for you. He could have said, but it's not what he said. No, he changed the situation because he changed the question that people were asking. What question did he begin to ask? I think he began to ask, as everybody else was saying, hey, who will do something about the situation? David asked, if I don't do it, who will? If I don't do it, if I don't take the step of faith, if I don't bring faith to this situation, if I don't trust God, every other soldier is looking for somebody else to do something about Goliath. The difference is, David said, if I don't, who will? Are you waiting for somebody else to do something about your problem that seems insurmountable? Are you waiting? You're looking to someone else. You're hoping somebody else does something. You, as a wife, are you waiting for your husband to do something to make your marriage better? Your husband, are you waiting for your wife to do something to make it better? If you're an employee, you're waiting for your boss to give you a raise. If you're the boss, you're probably waiting for the employee to earn it. What's the result? Nothing gets done. Nothing changes. No faith gets set forward. There's no initiative to solve the problem. Nothing happens. Someone may say, well, what if I take that step of faith and nothing happens? What if my wife doesn't respond? What if the employer doesn't? I start acting, working harder and working well and being more efficient, and they don't even recognize it. You start doing that, somebody will recognize it. Somebody will recognize it. God will see it. God will work. God will bless. God will bless. What about in your marriage? Let me ask you, what could you do? Because a lot of us are married in here. What could you do today to make your relationship better? When's the last time you said, if I don't do it, it won't get done? When's the last time you brought your wife roses or, I don't know. Guess I got some work to do in my marriage. I'm trying to think of some things I could do. You know, when's the last time you did the dishes just to do the dishes? Time you brought her candy. I don't know what, you know what your wife likes. And it not be Valentine's Day or her birthday or something like that, something where it's expected. You know? If your wife, when's the last time you had supper ready when he got home? When's the last time you said, you walked up and gave him a kiss on the cheek and said, you know how much I love you? When's the last time you just walked up and rubbed his back and said, I am so thankful for you? What could you do? What initiative could you take? How could you change things right now by stepping out in faith? To do that, you got to stop blaming others. You got to see the problem for what it really is. You got to seize the opportunity to bring faith to that problem. You got to seize the opportunity to step up your level of responsibility. See it, you seize it. Thirdly, though, if you see it, the problem, you seize the opportunity. Third, solve it. Solve it. Get a plan of action. And I think a good plan of action begins by gaining a right perspective. Right perspective. Have you ever thought about, you know, what gave David the courage that the rest of the army lacked? I think it was the difference in perspective. I think he had a right perspective on the situation. The army had a wrong perspective on the situation. I think, you know, when you think about, they're looking at this situation, I think they both saw giants. The army looked at the circumstance, saw the giant of Goliath, and they got scared. David looked at the circumstance, so he saw a different giant. The army saw Goliath. David saw God. You know what he realized? You put the giant of God next to the giant of Goliath, Goliath does not look all that big. Difference of perspectives. And if you have problems that seem overwhelming right now, it's usually because you have a wrong perspective. You take that problem and you set it up next to God, and that problem's just not that big of a deal. You think about your biggest problem for a moment. The biggest problem you have is that your sin has separated you from an almighty God. The biggest problem that you have is that you are under the wrath of God because of your sinfulness, because of your rebellion against God. And that God is going to condemn us for our sinfulness and our lack of holiness. That's the biggest problem that we have. God found a way to fix that problem. As a matter of fact, it's partly seen in this story because David here is a prototype for Jesus. It's real interesting when you look at all the different prototypes, those pictures in the Old Testament of who Christ would be, the coming of Christ. You see here, David is the youngest child of a shepherd. He wasn't even considered by his father to be kingly material. But in reality, it was through David that the lineage of the king was passed down to show that Jesus was the king of the universe, king of the world. So then you see Jesus. He's a child born to a poor family in a little town of Nazareth. He's the son of a carpenter. But in reality, he's king of the world. He's God. And David slew the giant of Goliath for Israel's army. Now listen to me. Jesus slew the giant of sin for us. You see the gospel in the story of David and Goliath. And the way you access that power for you is through faith in Christ. So the power of our, the power to access the solution to our biggest problems comes through faith in God's power. He's taking care of our biggest problems. Ladies and gentlemen, he can take care of our every problem. Next to God, the giant of a cantankerous boss doesn't look all that big. Next to God, disobedient children don't look so intimidating. Next to God, infertility problems don't look all that hopeless. Next to God, financial problems don't look all that bleak. Next to God, the giant of marriage problems don't look all that depressing. So the key to solving your problems is to set them next to the God that is infinitely bigger than they are. You see, taking responsibility doesn't mean responding to your own ability. When I say take responsibility, what I mean is respond to God's ability. Respond to God's promise to meet your needs. So until we have a right perspective, we'll never have a right plan of action. You won't ever have a right perspective until you have a real clear view of how great God truly is. Now, when you do get that view and you do get a vision of what God wants you to do, people are not always going to understand it. People won't always understand what God's telling you to do, and many times they will give you opposite advice of what God's will is. Have you ever gone to somebody and asked for their advice about a situation? It was ultimately opposite of what God ultimately wanted. It's happened in David's story here. David shows up and says, look, if I can whip a bear power of God, I can whip a lion with the power of God, I'll whip that giant out there for you. He's denying the armies of the living God. He can't stand up to God. He's bigger than I am. He's not bigger than God is. And so he goes to the king, and the king says, well, okay, if you want to fight him, all right, let me give you some armor. And he puts all this armor on, and you know, it's just too big, and it's too clankly, and it doesn't work. And he's like, I can't fight in this. How do you want me to fight, God? And he goes out and he picks up 5 smooth stones for a slingshot. He goes out and faces Goliath. What do you think the army must have been thinking when David walked out there with nothing but slingshot and some rocks? That's right. You're out of your mind. You're going to get killed. This absolutely doesn't sound like a good plan. Listen to me very carefully here. Your plan is not going to make sense to those that don't have the same perspective of God that you do. Your plan won't make sense if they don't see the same God that you see. I mean, quite frankly, the whole idea of repentance and faith makes no sense to a lost person. We mean repent, believe on Jesus. That is absolute foolishness. Yeah, it is foolishness to them, but you know it's the power of God to those who believe. It's the power of God. Word of God, it's the power of God for those who believe and trust in the Almighty. And so some of you right now, you know, you need to stop listening to other people. You're listening to too many people and too many voices, and you're looking in all the wrong places. You need to look to God. You need to look to His Word. Have you gone to His Word and say, God, what do you want here? How do you want me to relate to this child? How do you want me to relate to the spouse? How do you want me to relate to this boss? God, what do you want? And he may tell you something that makes no sense whatsoever. You step out on faith, because in faith that you find the power of God. See it. Seize it. Solve it. Then sling it. Sling it. Take action. You know what God's telling you to do? Act on it. God's people must learn not only to listen to God, but act on what God is saying. Not putting your faith in your ability, but in God's ability. And that's what David did. If you look at verse 48 and 49, down at the end of this, it says, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, he slung it. He struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. You go and read verse 50. And David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine, and he killed him. And there was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran. He stood over the Philistine, and he took the sword, and he drew it out of its sheath, and he killed him. He cut off his head with it. He cut the giant's head off with the giant's own sword. If you read on down, he took his head, took it back to Jerusalem, and I believe went and showed his mama. Look what I did. Look what God did in the midst of the problem that the whole army was cowering around. I took responsibility, mama. I trusted God. I had faith. He slung it. He slung the stone. David's a man of action. Saw what needed to be done. He relied on God's power, not his own power. And he did it. You know, I think one of our greatest sins daily is procrastinating what we know God already wants us to do. I struggle with that. I know what you want me to do, God, but I just, I read this poem a while back about procrastination. It says, procrastination is my sin. It brings me nothing but sorrow. I know that I should stop it. In fact, I will tomorrow. God doesn't bless procrastination. He doesn't bless apathy. Bottom line is, if God told us what to do, we can't afford to put it off until tomorrow. And I'll tell you why. Tomorrow won't ever get here. We watched Annie the other night. You know what Annie says? Tomorrow's always a day away. It's a day away. You won't ever get here. Tomorrow will be today, and today will be yesterday. It's why the artist Pablo Picasso said this. This is pretty insightful for an artist. Only put off until tomorrow what you're willing to die having left undone. Only put off till tomorrow what you're willing to die having left undone. I'll have faith. I'll do that, God. But just give me. Let these things line up. Let's get to tomorrow. Let this happen. Let me talk to that person. Let this. No, do it now. If God calls you to tells you what to do, then do it now. He's not going to bless apathy. He's not going to bless faithfulness. Christians must have the faith to sling the stone, not just hold it. It's dangerous not to take faith. It's dangerous to stand there with the stone in your hand and never sling it. Can you imagine what would happen if David, if he hadn't been willing to sling that stone? Goliath would have had his head instead of the other way around. So what are you waiting for? Don't wait. Don't wait. If you're lost here today, don't wait before you're standing in front of the Almighty and say, oh, okay, now I'm ready. It's too late. It's dangerous to wait. Don't wait for your spouse to divorce you before you start wanting to work on your marriage. Sling the stone today. Don't wait for the bank to file foreclosure before you start getting responsible over your finances. Sling the stone now, today. Don't wait for your children to be grown and gone before you decide to spend time with them. Sling that stone today before it's too late. What stone are you holding? What stone needs to be slung? What impossible problem are you facing that seems to be too big for you to handle? I want you to know, it is too big for you to handle, but it is not too big for God to handle. Gain a right perspective. Take that problem that's much bigger than you and set it up next to another giant, the giant of God. And you'll get the right perspective. Yield to His word. Yield to His wisdom. Listen to what He has to say. Take action. Take responsibility for your life and the power of God. And you'll find your life take a whole different direction of victories like you haven't imagined before. Think about right now in your life. What do you need victory over? Is there some sin in your life that you need victory over? Is there some circumstance in your life that you need victory over? Some person in your life you need victory over? See it. What it is, it's lack of faith. Seize it, take responsibility, looking to God. Solve it, listen to what God has to say about how you need to respond in His power, and then sling it. And when you get up tomorrow, you'll find yourself with Goliath's head in your hands. Pray with me. Father, we thank You that in the power of God, the Almighty, we do not have to be victims, but we can be victors. For You are already the great victor. Jesus has already conquered the greatest battles that we will ever face. He's already conquered our sin. And so, Father, first and foremost, I want to pray for those in here who are lost. And they haven't experienced the power of God and salvation right now, Father. Their greatest problem is that they are separated from the Almighty, that they're going to have to pay a penalty for that sinfulness, the penalty of eternal death, Your wrath for eternity. If you're here today, I want you to know that battle has already been fought in such a way that if you'll turn from sin right now, and if you'll turn to a giant bigger than death. The only giant bigger than death is a giant of Jesus. If you'll turn from Him, to Him, from sin, you will find life in Him. A life that's everlasting. Forgiveness of sin and restored relationship with the One that created you for the purpose of glorifying Him and knowing Him and having joy in Him. If you're believers here today and you're just facing the giant that seems too big for you to handle, look to the God, the giant who's already handled your biggest problem. I promise you, He can handle this one too. So yield by faith to Him. Turn to Him. Find hope in Him. Find encouragement in Him and Him alone. Father, there's so many decisions I know that need to be made concerning this issue. I think that's probably why You put this on my heart to preach. Father, let us take our hands off the wheel and say, all right, God, You take the wheel. I'll do what I have to do. I'll put on the seatbelt, I'll do it, but You take the wheel. I give it to You. Give us wisdom to know how to face the situation, the wisdom of God. And give us almighty power to see victory in this situation. So, Lord, we give You the glory now. Would You do what only You can? Would You bring the victory? Pray in Christ's name. Amen.